when I was at my lowest, I was really indignant, right? So I was saying that it doesn't make sense, God, that you would put us on this earth with all of these amazing foods and cultures and cuisines and say that you can't touch it, you can't eat it. So I never tried to become an absolutist with my diet. I wanted to be able to embrace food, enjoy food, but do it in calorie conscious ways and find out better ways to prepare so that way I could fuel my body.
Welcome to the Spartan DECA series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
What's up, Spartans? Welcome to the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. I'm your co-host, Jared Cogswell, along with my brother, Yancey Culp. And today, hey, we've got a man that has inspired millions of men and women to eat healthy and stay fit with his popular website, social channels, and YouTube channel called Fit Man Cook. And his name is no other than Kevin Curry.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
Kevin, welcome to the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast.
What's going on, y'all? First off, the amount of energy in that intro is epic. That is like the most epic intro ever. You know what?
We got more
Bruce
coming.
Buffer, I know. If Bruce Buffer, hey, if he can't do it, let me tell you what. Jared Cogswell, please, y'all. UFC, call him. Jared Cogswell can headline any UFC fight. Fighting out of the red corner.
Hey, usually I don't have descriptions that long, man, but you've done that. I mean, you've done everything. And then when you get to throw in a DECA mark on top of it, that's the cherry on top.
Listen, for the listeners out there and the viewers, why is Kevin Curry so darn relatable? I want you to picture a man that's unfit, out of shape, depressed, sitting in a cubicle. We're talking about a guy that studied business and politics. He's sitting in a cubicle and he says, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I want to take charge of my beautiful machine. It's not real beautiful right now, but I'm going to make it beautiful. So all of a sudden, Kevin does the deep dive into food, nutrition, improving his lifestyle. And 6 years later, becomes one of the most powerful people walking the planet when it comes to influencing more people to jump on his train and improve the diet, the lifestyle. And I'm going to give you a very special shout out, Kevin. This means a lot to me because I am married to one of the most well-respected dietitians walking the planet. She's the president of the Collegiate and Professional Sports Dietetic Association. She is the director of sports performance nutrition for the University of Texas Athletic Program. Your alma mater, by the way. And she said, let me tell you something about Kevin. All of us dietitians have great respect for the way he does what he does. There's so much quackery out there. There's so many people trying to make a quick buck quick and just pull people in real fast. And then they disappear. It's like Kevin is in this for the long haul. And my wife said it almost, he speaks dietitian. It's like he went to dietetic school. But she just wanted me to let you know how much the dietetic world and she especially respect the way you're doing what you're doing. And
let me tell
just
you.
Saying things like food is fuel and just falling in love with food being the fuel. So from my wife, big high five. She says you have an open invite to come do cooking demos.
Hey. I will be there. First off, that means a lot to me just because, you know, like your wife is right. There are so many ebbs and flows within social media, but also within the health space, because I feel like every single year they're coming out with a new diet trend or a fad way of eating to try to help people to lose weight, drop weight fast. And so, you know, looking back, you know, you say 6 years, I have to sometimes think to myself like, oh, wow, kid, like you have been doing this for a minute. And so I'm really grateful to be here. One thing that I've just started out with, or that I've always been, is that when I was at my lowest, I was really indignant, right? So I was saying that it doesn't make sense, God, that you would put us on this earth with all of these amazing foods and cultures and cuisines and say that you can't touch it, you can't eat it. So I never tried to become an absolutist with my diet. I wanted to be able to embrace food, enjoy food, but do it in calorie conscious ways. And find out better ways to prepare so that way I could fuel my body.
Kevin, when, you know, Yancey and I have been working in the fitness industry longer than I'd like to admit. He says 55 years, and I was doing the math the other day. It's actually 57 now, as crazy as that sounds.
Oh, dang. Are you kidding?
And that's
combined, by the way.
That's us combined, yeah.
I was like, y'all look great. You still do.
But we've worked with so many clients over the years, all levels of fitness, and obviously very passionate about what we do. And when we meet somebody like you, that's a role model for so many people, and you're doing such a great job of impacting the world, not just with foods and topics like diet and so forth, but also just for the fitness world, because we know what it does for people mentally, emotionally, mm-hmm. as well as the physical part. But a lot of people are out there struggling with body image issues, depression, right. And we've come across so many of these people. Can you just explain, like, when did the light bulb go off for you and start this journey to where you are today?
Yeah, I think there were two light bulbs. The first one was, this is years ago, y'all. So this is around the time when Facebook didn't have those provisions on there where you could restrict where people can tag you in photos. And I went to a wedding and my friends, you know, like well-intentioned, they just tagged me in all these photos. And when I went to go see the photos that they tagged me in, I was like, yo, how can we delete these photos? I had no idea that I had just gotten that size. I was really greasy, no pun intended. Like, I was always sweaty. I sweat now anyway, but just I didn't like what I was seeing. And that was the first part of it. And the second time was shortly after that, because I did what everyone does. They'll start to work out and start to run. So I was not into weightlifting. I was really, really weak. I didn't want to go to the gym because I was super embarrassed. So I would just start running a whole bunch. And that didn't work out. So I sought out this personal trainer, one of those persons on social media who just has this great physique. They're into bodybuilding and stuff, so they know how to go ahead and cut weight pretty quickly. And they quoted me some ridiculous price for 4 weeks. And I was thinking, you know, Kev, this is the final straw. Like, you went to a great high school, went to a darn good university, you went to graduate school. Surely you can go and figure this stuff out. So I went to Half Price Books and I just literally bought every single book they had there. But I had to reach that like rock bottom moment for me. Now, I'm oversimplifying it in that it was just that picture. But also, like what you said, it was a mental health piece. I was super depressed. I thought that I was going to be married after grad school, and that relationship ended. The stock market crashed. So I found myself back at home on my parents' couch in Dallas, Texas. As a 30-year-old, you know, just trying to figure out, like, where in the world could I go from here and what went wrong? What did I do wrong? Because, you know, we're taught, you know, as this generation, we'll just go to school and do this and do that and you're going to be fine in life. And life was not working out that way. And so I would therapize with a whole bunch of eating and drinking. So when I hit that rock bottom moment, I was literally desperate to try anything. And I've worked with a lot of people over the years, and people have reached out, and I can always literally predict the ones who are going to have success because they are so desperate to try anything. They will come up to me and say, hey, saw you here in the grocery store. When you posted this video, when you said this, I wanted to know, why'd you do that? Because I started to do that too. It's like they will just take anything that they can to try to get to that point. And that's where I was. I'm not ashamed to say either. Like, the reason why food became a really big part of it is that I was so desperate. I was trying every single supplement out there. Like, if I peed in a cup, it would eat through that cup. I was taking the Anna Nicole Smith diet pills. And when she died, I was like, oh, I gotta start taking those right away. No offense, rest in peace. But I was just so desperate for a change. So I know that feeling very well. And as the years have gone by and as I've done this more and more, one thing that I've always done, Jared, is I've always gone back to those journals and to remind myself of who I was. So that way I never lose that.
Man, I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm sure that there's listeners on here who can relate, you know, I think this is such an important podcast for us because, you know, we talk a lot about fitness and mindset and so forth. And, you know, we haven't really brought in the nutrition element to this, but I think the other cool thing that you've done is simplified the process. And before we get to that, you know, I do want people to understand that the gains that you've made along the way too on the fitness side, because I'll tell you what, when I saw Kevin Curry's picture on the podium at DecaFit, I was like, man, that I'm gonna call him Quadzilla. Man, you look like you've been under the bar and you've been lifting a few weights here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Lots and lots and lots of squatting and pressing. You know, the funny thing is, when I first got into weightlifting, I was so embarrassed because I was struggling like with the bar. I'm not even gonna lie. But you know, I learned how to check the eagle at the door. But I found out that my legs were pretty strong, so I was going in there just to burn off weight, you know, and to lose weight, doing the leg press, doing lunges and everything else, and had no idea that they were growing. So it's just, so that's why it looks the way, a little lopsided.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I had legs like that, I'm a mountain climber, right? I need legs like that, I'd climb Everest by now.
Kevin, this is a mainstay in our kitchen.
Oh man, so I love it.
I'm blessed to say that I have a wife that loves to cook, and I have enjoyed probably easily 50 items from here. I'm the naughty by nature, PPC, you know me.
You got that reference?
I've got to bring up a piece in here, and there's a section where I like to tell my clients that even if you don't have a certification, you're not certified in a certain thing, we all have the ability to be a coach in us. Yeah. There's a page in here where you talk about your friend, Greg. Tell me a little more. I want to learn a little more about Greg, man.
Yeah. Greg is such an interesting man because he came to me at the very beginning of my journey, in a sense. And he just saw me struggling in the gym. And this is an older guy. And you know what? And I like to tell the story, especially right now, because there's so much that's happening in our society, in our world, and that it's so easy to not see each other and not listen to each other. And one thing that you should know about Greg is that Greg is at that time, he was a 55 or plus, you know, you're a white man, super conservative. And here I am, this this wide-eyed, you know, out of shape black kid from Austin, Texas, who is from, you know, one of them liberal hippie schools. And he saw me struggling, and he comes over there. He's like, "Hey, so what are you trying to do?" And I'm just like, "I'm just working out, man." And he took me under his wing, and he just started to teach me things. And we became a workout partners, and we would talk about life and everything in between, and stuff we agreed upon, stuff we didn't agree upon. But one thing that brought us together was our love to live a healthier and happier lifestyle. And Greg literally helped to coach me out of that dark place that I was. I didn't realize that at the time. And so when I wrote that book, I thought it's really important to pay homage to the people along my path that have truly helped to put me on that right path, because we don't, sometimes we discount what a kind word can mean to somebody, or seeing somebody in the gym who's not doing something correctly. And, you know, I feel like in this day and age, it's always a race to see who can pull out their phone, record it, and upload it for a big joke. Mm-hmm. But what if instead of doing that, you walked over to that person saying, "Hey, you know what? I was doing the same thing. You know what? Here's how you can do this better. Or here's another way to actually go and do this." And you begin to, you know, show people and teach people. And it was in that sentiment that Greg showed me. In a different way. He was one of the first persons to get me open to this idea of meal prep. Like, oh, this is what I do, because I'm an older guy and I'm trying to do these bodybuilding shows. And so he would tell me about how to get all my meals together and carry them together. So I started to get another backpack to take to work with all my meals. So it's important that we don't discount those ways that we interact, and also celebrate the ways that a love of fitness can bring us all together.
Did you hear that, Yancey?
That's a mic.
He said celebrate. Celebrate. we talk about celebrating fitness all the time. And you know, Kevin, I definitely want to share with the audience, like, your best practices here in just a bit for making the right choices when it comes to food and so forth. What I loved, I saw a podcast with our CEO that you did with Joe DeSena, and learning more about you. One, I really love your authenticity. I feel like we're all aligned on this podcast today, because we're all here to light one another up, light up the planet, is what Yancey and I like to share. But you have a phrase that I really like, is reimagine food.
Yeah.
Reimagine food. Can you share that concept?
Yeah. You know, I'll share it in the context of how I got my parents to start making some healthier decisions. My dad was struggling with some really big, like, health issues, lots of inflammation in his body. And I try not to prescribe, you know, certain ways of, you know, eating to everybody. But I told my dad for sure, because I'm not a vegan, or I'm not a plant-based, primarily, you know, dieter. But I said, I think that you would really benefit from a plant-based diet. And as I was talking to them, they were more open to it because they were in such a low place. And what I was getting them to see is that, Dad, you know, there's not going to be another sweet potato pie that you're just going to taste and be like, this is amazing. There's not going to be another, like, fried chicken that's going to knock your socks off. You are close to 70 years old. You have tasted it all. Why not, at this new place in your life, let's reimagine food and reimagine, you know, the memories that come along with it. So, you know, and reimagine, like, your relationship with it. So it's not always about sitting down and stuffing ourselves that we used to do back on Soul Food Sundays after church. It's about how we want to feel after we eat. And it's also about how we can, together as a family, eat again. So, for instance, Dad, you probably don't know, like, what, like, quinoa is, right? And I'm showing them all this stuff. I'm, you know, I'm cooking for them. You don't really know that. But let's say that I made it and it sucked, and I brought it over and we ate it together. Now you have a memory of quinoa being really bad, but you have the joyful memory of us all clowning me because that meal was so bad, right? And sometimes food tastes differently and it can be nourishing for us depending on the circumstances. So in a culture, in the Black Southern culture, where we can get around the table and eat in excess because it's celebrated, it's taught, you know, like, you got to show love and put more and more on your plate. Let's reimagine our relationship, like, with food in a different way, especially right now at this age. And that's what I tell everyone to, you know, to do this, like, little by little. It's not just about doing what you did when, you know, like, when you grew up, but looking at your life and looking at, like, where, like, you want to be and seeing how the different things that we do, the different actions that we do every single day, ladder up and build and contribute to that narrative. And the food that we eat is a part of that narrative too.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that. You know, it's about being intentional. I love what you said about visioning how you're going to feel after the meal.
Yeah.
You know, I had the conversation this morning with my wife, you know, after learning more about you. And that's the thing that we try to do with clients on the fitness side. It's like, imagine how you would, how you're going to feel after the workout. You may not want to do it now, but you're sure going to feel good afterwards. And I think it's the same way with food, most definitely.
So
because also it's like when we overindulge or eat the wrong things, I don't want to feel guilty, you know, and that's another potential result of that. So I love what you shared there.
Yeah. And you know what? And when you eat calorie conscious foods, whenever you're, you know, like, you're being, like, intentional about that, you kind of lose that guilt, because I think that the guilt comes along whenever it makes you, whenever you don't feel so well. And so your body is telling you, yo, what you just fed me, I know it tasted good, but it's not agreeing with me right now. And so you feel guilty for that. So sometimes that guilt is necessary, because it's a marker. It actually should inform what we do. But we have a tendency to kind of block it out and think it's something else. No, that's there, like, for a reason. But what I know for a fact is that when you start to eat according to where you're going health-wise, that guilt is not there.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to kind of reframe this for everyone tuning in, where you are today, and let's back up several years and unfit, overweight, closing ourselves in at home by ourselves, over drinking, overeating, contemplating suicide, all stuff that's in the book that I've enjoyed reading. And it's like, okay, now that this amazing influence to others, those bookends are far apart, but I think I think it's very important because there are other people out there that right now that are listening or tuning in that are stuck in the exact same rut you were in. So, man, it's been inspirational for me and my wife. And it always is when we do these, but learning more about our guests. So you want to dive in a little more on that that amazing journey.
Yeah, yeah. And you can stop me. You know, I'm Southern, so I can talk all day. So you just need to just tell me, like, when is enough is enough. But, you know, what I'll say is this to that person out there who's listening to this podcast, and that may have resonated with you. One thing that I did, and I'm encouraging you not to do, is just to look how far away from that finish line you are. And I think that I started to get a lot more depressed because I would look at my life and be like, yo, you didn't used to look like this. You didn't used to feel like this. Oh my God, you can't even do a push-up. Man, you're so far away. Man, you used to be able to run. Kev, you can't even run anymore. And the more I rehearsed that in my mind, the more depressed I got. And what I try to get across in the book is I have this saying, we got to stop trying to boil the ocean. Mm. You know, and I think that we do that in fitness. We do that especially with food on day one. Like when you make a decision to start eating better, you know, we try to do everything at once. And then we're frustrated when the whole ocean isn't boiling. That's just because it's a really big task. But if you can just take a small part of that ocean, a pot of that ocean, boil that will actually boil. And then little by little, if you keep on doing that, we can heat up the ocean this way. Right? I know it's a really big analogy, but This is what I did to get out of my rut. So I wasn't looking. I had to tell myself, Kevin, you aren't that same person anymore. No, of course you can't do push-ups, but you're older now. You're busier now with work. Your circumstances have changed. You've gained some more weight. No, you can't run that, but it's okay. But you're running today. But you're running like right now. And so the more I could kind of live like in the present and focus on these small things from day to day, I became less depressed about being so far away from, you know, like from that in place, from that happiness, until literally I just woke up one day and I looked back and like, yo, I literally just transformed my life and I didn't realize it. And that's because I took it day by day, hour by hour. I had a conversation today with somebody right before this podcast who was in a pretty dark place. And I shared with them, they were pretty emotional. And I share with them, one thing that you have to do as well, I know this part sucks, but you got to become your own best cheerleader. You got to celebrate you. You got to be kind to yourself. I know, especially men in this culture, we celebrate. Don't be no wimp. Don't be no punk. You know, don't show emotion. You hurt up inside, bottle up and go in the gym and Well, now you're just a really swollen, strong person with lots of emotional issues, with severe emotional issues. It's okay to express that. And I told this person, I said, listen, there have been times where I would show up to the gym and I had to drag myself to the gym. So just getting there was my big thumbs up for me. I'd have to go into the bathroom, literally compose myself because I would feel tears coming. That's how bad my depression was. Mm-hmm. Cry in the stall. Wipe my face and go out there and hit that workout. And I had to cheer myself on every step of the way. And that's what you have to do. You've got to believe in yourself and you've got to pat yourself on the back. You got to be able to, as my pastor says, lay hands on yourself and command yourself to go out there and do it.
I like what you're sharing about the analogy, the ocean and celebrating your wins, right? Like, even if it's the smallest ones, just getting to the gym is a win, you know, and we're so hard on ourselves and, you know, we're always counting our losses. And it seems like if we count those little wins, maybe we're going to build confidence at the same time. And and I could relate to your ocean analogy, because I say this all the time as somebody who's brought a lot of people up for their first time up mountains, for example. They get intimidated by that big old mountain. And it's like, hey, let's just take the next 100 yards and then we'll turn around and the view changes every single time. It just gets more and more spectacular, but you've got to notice and recognize your progress. And that definitely seems to align with what you're teaching the world. One of the things that we talk a lot about in the fitness world is our passion, our purpose for positively changing lives. When you started to do what you were doing for yourself, was that part of the thought process on how you can coach and teach others?
No, not when I got started. I think that it just kind of happened, and it happened just because I was so enthusiastic about it. I was just sharing my journey. So first off, Fit Man Cook and this whole blog thing, it started because I was trying to game the system. I was too broke to pay a trainer. So I didn't want to do that anymore. So I said, well, let me just share out everything that I'm doing so that people will share back with me and say, it's good, but try this and that, et cetera, et cetera. And so the whole thing about me helping people, that kind of just, it kind of just happened. And I just realized I'm much more passionate about helping other people find their way. You know, it's, I liken it to, I always tell this, hopefully it lands well, how, you know how you see people on Instagram or like social media, they'll lose like 5 or 10 pounds. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're like a life coach to everybody and they're saying other stuff. Well, that's true. But I think that the cool thing about living a healthier, balanced lifestyle is that you have so much more energy and so much enthusiasm that you want to share that out with people. And so I was just an enthusiastic person because watching my body change, watching my mood change, I was like, try this, y'all. This is great. Do that over here. And people would begin to write me and I could really relate to their stories. And that's how I began the one-on-one stuff.
Yeah, you just remind me, like, sometimes I can't think of any social content to throw out there, right? But when you go out and inspire yourself, you want to like, hey, guys, check this out. And this is what we should all be doing, right?
Right.
I'll tell you, I live in a house where possibly every single diet, nutrition, recipe, food book that's ever been written is in this house. I'm going to bring this to the forefront one more time. This book gets used so damn much. We always want to provide the listeners with great insight and tools. Fit Men Cook is a great tool. And it's one my wife goes to all the time. Listen, there are over 100 flavorful and easy to cook recipes. Our favorite is the comfort food makeover section. That is beyond, you know, kind of taking great comfort foods and making them a little lower calorie, little healthier versions. I've enjoyed some of those. 260 on page 260, folks, the sweets and snacks. Some low calorie masterpieces on page 260.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Shout out to the book for the listeners.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That book was a huge like labor of love. It took me about a year and a half to write. I had been asked for quite some time to write a book, but I just didn't think I had anything. And then all of a sudden I just said, okay, I think I know like what I want to say. I think I know. And I had put in like all the different conversations that I have with other people that I've worked with like over the years for my followers to create this book to give people a roadmap. So I don't want it just to be like a recipe book. I want this to be like a roadmap for you to kind of find yourself in it and carve out what works for you. Like, don't just copy and paste what works for me. I want you to feel that freedom to take it and make it your own, because that's how you actually live. That's how you live free and balanced.
And when I brought up the dietitians, how my wife just works with tons of dietitians, and how that part one that comes before the recipes, there's so much good mental conditioning that people that aren't dietitians get wrong. And they love that you are getting it right in a way where there's very few diet or food books that dietitians will recommend.
It means so much. You have no idea. It means a whole lot to me.
Kevin, if we were to say, you know, just off the cuff, and maybe it's not off the cuff, but, you know, what we're always trying to do on this podcast is educate our listeners, obviously, and definitely from a fitness standpoint. And I think there's so many people out there struggling, you know, again, not just with exercise adherence, but also the choices they make. And there's a lot of people out there trying to, you know, out-train their diet, right?
Yeah.
What are your 3 to 5 top best practices that you share with somebody that is struggling? I mean, in fact, it doesn't even have to be somebody struggling. It's just like, what's going to help me here make better choices when it comes to food?
Yeah. So one thing that I would say is just start small. Like I said before, I think that's the number one place that I see that people fail, is that they'll see the sexy photos on social media about people just having like a whole table full of meal prep or all their stuff prepped and whatnot, or overhauling their own diet. I'm going to go and do keto. I'm going to do, you know, Atkins or, you know, or whatever diet.
Joe was trying to get you on Sprouts. Remember that?
Oh, he's
Sprout lasagna. What the hell?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I forgot about that. And so I just feel like if you just start small, I think that you can gain like your momentum. Now, with that, I always tell people, instead of trying to overhaul your diet, I'm pretty sure that you can think of about 2 or 3 things, some vices that you or some behaviors that you can probably, you know, like get rid of. So start with that instead of trying to overhaul your diet, because sometimes those can be like the biggest barriers. So for instance, a lot of people like to drink sweet, sugary, you know, sodas and drinks. So we're going to work for the next 21, 30 days on like reducing that. So maybe like if you were drinking one every single day, we're going to go to maybe trying for a week, doing it 3 times a week and then 2x a week and then maybe just 1x a week. And when you see how easy that you can do that, then you get a lot of momentum. You're like, oh, that wasn't so hard. It's kind of like playing like a video game. If the first level was as hard as the final level, then nobody would do it. Why? Because they'd be so frustrated and they just stop. Mm-hmm. So the video game is designed to be easier and it gets harder and harder and harder, but you're gaining skills along the way. If you look at your diet that same way, you'll have lasting success. And then the third thing that I'll say that really helped me was to, and Yancey, it's funny that you talked about this chapter in the book, but the comfort food makeovers. Sometimes we get in trouble when trying to eat healthier, quote unquote, healthier, because we're eating stuff that people have told us to. What if we actually eat foods that we already really like and the cuisine that we really like? So part of my thing was taking foods that I really enjoy and transforming them. So I love Mexican food. I'm here in Texas, so that's a staple part of my diet. I was figuring out, how can I make a lower calorie quesadilla? How can I take out all that cheese? And I was putting in other stuff like guacamole and lean chicken breasts and fresh vegetables, and not drowning them out in butter and oil. Swapping out the tortillas, and all of a sudden I had something that I would actually eat and that I could enjoy on a daily basis. So if you can take foods that you really enjoy, break them down into the core ingredients, and then figure out ways that you can cut the calories in them, that's another proven way that you can have some success, because again, you want to make your diet something that you'll actually eat. And I think that when I say that, you're like, duh. But how many times are you just eating stuff that somebody told you, but you really hate it? Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And so many people need it. And thank you. I mean that sincerely. You are truly making a positive impact on the world. You're an amazing individual. I love your story. And I'm inspired. So thank you for inspiring me. I appreciate you very much.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the DECA series on Spartan Up podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics, to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time.